for those who want to dig deep and grow strong. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and teacher, Jeff Kinley. It's time to power up your faith and take your walk to the next level. Now, here's Jeff with today's podcast.
Okay, we're wrapping up this series on amazing prophecies from the Bible. And man, this stuff is just, it is amazing. It's just mind-blowing, the things that God has predicted, because he's batting 1,000, the Bible's batting 1,000. I mean, everything God said was going to come true has come true. So we have every confidence to think that, and to believe, and to have really a strong belief that everything else is going to come true just as he said it would. A couple of other prophecies that that are kind of information, and there's evidence to suggest that we could see the fulfillment of them in our generation. Let me give you a couple of them here. I'm just jumping right into this thing today. One is that, you know, prophecy tells us that in Revelation 13, that the false prophet, who is the sidekick of the Antichrist, he will require every person on planet Earth to receive a mark. In other words, the goal is to, for the government that's in charge, to put something, to intrude something on your body. Where have we heard that in the past, you know, year, right? And of course, I'm talking about the mark of the beast. And, you know, right now we see this vaccine mandate. I mean, as I speak, President Biden has mandated that all companies with employees over 100 make their people get vaccinated. That's the first boulder that causes the whole mountainside to cave in and landslide, because everybody else will follow that. Every other company will follow that for fear of repercussions from the government. Anybody receiving federal funding, they'll threaten that, even though the Biden administration bold-faced lied. I mean, just straight from hell lie, that they promised last year, oh, we will never mandate. Oh, that's off the table. Now they're actually using those words saying nothing is off the table. In other words, they're not even saying what they're going to do if you don't get vaccinated. Now, as I've said before on this program, getting a vaccine is a personal decision for every person, but it should be a personal decision. It should not be the government's decision to inject your body with chemicals. By the way, just yesterday, the FDA, our Federal Drug Administration, has officially petitioned the courts, federal courts, to seal all of the documents regarding how they made the vaccine for Pfizer, how they made the vaccine, what's in the vaccine, to seal those documents for 55 years. Why on earth would you do that? What are you afraid of the general public knowing about what you've put in this vaccine, or about what you did to develop the vaccine? What's so secretive here? 55 years, everybody will be dead who took the vaccine. So they're going to be safe. They're already immune from prosecution. If you die, or you grow a third leg, or your eyeball falls out, or you get a brain aneurysm or a heart disease. So all that to say is, a vaccine so safe, so secure, that we're not going to let you know it's in it until 55 years from now. Holy cow. So, but the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. However, the spirit of the mark of the beast is being implemented through this preview of forced vaccines. You can't do this, you can't travel by yourself unless you get the vaccine. That's where they're headed with this thing. Thankfully, many people, including Ben Shapiro, on whose show I was on for my book, As It Was in the Days of Noah, Ben Shapiro has led the lawsuit against this immoral federal mandate. And I think 26, 27 states have also followed as well, just suing the government. And hopefully they'll just keep it tied up in courts. But they're doubling down. The government's doubling down, as will the government of the Antichrist. In his day, you will have no pushback. There will be no opportunity for you to say, oh, I don't want that. No, you get it or else. Or else what, Jeff? Or else you die. The government will kill you. They will chop your head off. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, it says, that you're going to be beheaded if you don't take that mark. And the word for beheaded is not a guillotine, or however you pronounce it, guillotine, however you pronounce that. It's not a guillotine kind of thing. It's not just a sword coming down on your head like Paul got from the Roman government. No, it refers to the sawing off of someone's head. That's what that word means, just much like radical Muslims do today to people they don't like. Okay, so what's the prophecy? Well, the prophecy is there's going to be a mark of the beast, and right now we see not only the spirit of that taking place, and again, they don't back down, they only up the ante on this thing. So it's only going to get worse worldwide. Right now, they're locking people in their houses in Australia if they refuse to get this vaccine. All right, enough of that. The prophecy is the mark of the beast. Now, the word mark is a Greek word charagma, and it refers to, in that day, to a, like what we would call a tattoo, all right? And it was like a tattoo that a subordinate officer put on his arm to represent his commanding officer as a sign of great allegiance and loyalty. So he would have his likeness or something like that. It was also used to refer to the image that was stamped on a coin. So when you look at Lincoln's face on the penny, that's one word, that charagma thing was that imprint, that stamp. So what exactly the mark's going to be in terms of technology, we don't exactly know. It could be tied to some sort of not a RFID chip, but some sort of epidermal tattoo. Bible says on your hand or your forehead, right here, epidermal tattoo that could contain some information like your bank account number, like what is contained in the chip that's on your credit card, that kind of thing, the information that's on Apple Pay, that kind of stuff. So it could be highly technological like that. However, it also could be that it's very crude and rudimentary. It's just simply an image that is indelibly inked, stamped, tattooed, whatever, on your forehead, on your hand, that in essence, like when some of you guys go to Costco or you go to Sam's Club and you show them this card to get in the door, and that enables you to use other means of payment, right? That could be a possibility as well, this word charagma. So it could be just an entry point that gets you, that enable you, that has some sort of, you know, maybe has a number attached to it or something like that, like a PIN code or whatever. But it also could be something more highly technological. We really don't know. The scripture is really not exactly specific on this. Now, we are moving towards a cashless society, and that in and of itself is not an evil thing. I mean, you know, you use a credit card instead of cash, so are you evil when you do that? No, of course not. Some of you guys pay with your phone kind of thing. I don't think that the technology itself is not evil. It's how it's used. It's saying that you can't use cash that is more concerning than anything else. But we are moving to a cashless society. I think I read that something like 41% of transactions in America are now cashless. They're either done online or they're made with some sort of a, you know, digital transaction, that kind of thing. So the point is, the spirit of the mark of the beast is here, and they're trying to do that through the vaccine. The technology for the mark of the beast is here. And again, it's not the vaccine. Why do I say that? Because the Bible specifically says in Revelation 13, let me just read it to you, okay? Because so that I don't want you to just take my word for everything. I want to read the scripture here on what it actually says. All right, Revelation 13 is talking about the false prophet is forcing the whole world. It says, and there was given him, verse 15, to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast might speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So you don't bow down to the image of the beast, and that's a whole nother prophecy, you're going to be killed, beheaded. Then it says, and he causes all, and who is the all here? Well, thankfully the Bible tells us here. It says the small and the great, the rich and the poor, free man and the slaves, so that's like covers everybody on the planet, every tribe, everybody, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And because we believe every word of God is inspired, this word on means on in the Greek. It's the Greek word epi. It means on top of. It means on top of. It does not mean injected underneath or into your skin or into your veins. Now, why do we say that? Well, because there is a Greek word that means to go under. It's the Greek word hyper. We get our word hypodermic needle. Hello? So I believe strongly that the mark of the beast is going to be some sort of implementation on the skin. And it could penetrate the skin some, but it's going to be on the skin right here or right here on the right. Not the left hand, the right hand. Okay? So that's how the mark of the beast is going to be done. And it says he provides that no one should be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast right here or the number of his name. So you either get that magic tattoo, that karagma, that mark, or you're not going to be able to buy anything from a stick of gum to pay your mortgage to order coffee on Amazon. There's nothing you're going to be able to do. You cannot transact business. You can't sell, can't buy, you can't live. And that's going to force some people underground, obviously. But the technology to do that, I mean, that's what they're trying to do right now. Think about all over the world, they're trying to force people to be vaccinated. And again, personal decision, right? The immoral part of it is, the biggest immoral part of it is the fact that they're trying to force it. But think about it. It's a worldwide push for everyone to do the same thing. And what is that thing? To accept the authority of the government for the purposes of peace and safety. Hello, 1 Thess 5, right? So that's exactly what is going on. This is just a trial run by Satan. It's just a preview of things to come, all right? So that's a huge prophecy. Let me give you another prophecy. The Bible says that when Christ returns, he's going to return to a specific spot. And that specific spot is going to be the Mount of Olives. Now, why is the Mount of Olives so important? Well, when Jesus was in Jerusalem on the last week of his life, his disciples asked him in Matthew 24, they said, Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Christ launched into this huge discourse called the Olivet Discourse. And the subject of the Olivet Discourse was the end times, right? And so the Bible says he sat down with them on the Mount of Olives, all right? Then when Jesus ascended into heaven, which Revelation chapter 12 uses the word harpazo, which is the word for rapture, where you get our word rapture eventually from, that he ascended from where? Well, from the Mount of Olives. Again, a very prophetic spot. Now, in Acts chapter 1, this is what the Bible tells us about this rapture of Jesus, this ascension. It says, and when he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was departing, the two men in white clothing stood beside them. These are angels, by the way. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up in the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way you have watched him go into heaven. So he ascended into heaven. He's going to descend back down to the earth at his second coming. And when he comes, the primary piece of real estate that he's going to come to is once again the Mount of Olives. All right, Zechariah 14:4 is talking about the second coming, the day of the Lord. It says, in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move towards the north and half the mountain will move towards the south. So Jesus will come back. His feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and there will be a great earthquake, and the mountain will be split in two. Okay, so Jeff, that's Zechariah. You know, that was written thousands of years ago. Why is this an amazing prophecy? Well, here's why. In 2004, NBC News reported that a three-year study by the Geological Survey of Israel confirmed this area, the Mount of Olives, to be at imminent risk for earthquake. Their conclusion was based on the discovery of a fault line running east to west directly through the Mount of Olives. Precisely, exactly, and specifically as Zechariah 14:4 has prophesied. So how could Zechariah, writing 2,600 years ago, have possibly known about this future fault line? Could it be the Holy Spirit reveal that to him, right? This is just another one of Scripture's amazing prophecies. I mean, Nostradamus can't do this. You know, a soothsayer can't do this. Seance leader can't do this. But God says there's going to be a huge earthquake and it's going to split the Mount of Olives. And so Jesus is going to come back to that spot. And you can be certain about that. Now, my friends, this really just blows my mind. Bible prophecy always gets it right. The Bible always gets it right. It's not just prophecy. When the Bible talks about science, about things that science has discovered, the Bible's like, you know, sitting on top of the mountain waiting on them. They're just like, oh, we knew that back when. You know, the Bible already talks about the sphere of the earth. It talks about hydrology. It talks about the flow of blood in the veins. All these things that science has supposedly discovered were already in the Bible. We just needed to wait for science to catch up with the Bible. I mean, that's just the way it is. So amazing prophecy of that. And I'll just say this one more thing. We're going to close this little series out here for now. Because I'm asked this all the time. What is the next prophetic event that's going to be fulfilled? And the next thing on God's calendar, you know, when I look at my phone every day, I look at my calendar and I go, okay, what's on the calendar for the day? What's coming up next week, right? The next thing on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. The last major prophecy to be fulfilled was the rebirth of Israel. That's the last major thing. Since then, there have been prophecies in formation, like the Jews returning to the land, something that God predicted in Ezekiel 36 and 37, happened exactly like God said it would, of course. But there's nothing left. I mean, it's not like we're running out of prophecies. We've got about 500 left to fulfill during the tribulation. But one of the prophecies just prior to that is the rapture of the church. There are no prophecies and there are no signs that tell us when the rapture is going to happen. It is what we call a signless event. So we can't point to something, the rapture, that means the rapture. No, nothing means the rapture. The rapture is an imminent thing. Jesus is going to come back at a time when we don't recognize it. We won't know when he's going to come back. But the rapture is going to be the catalyst that will lead to the next prophetic event that officially begins the start of the tribulation. And that prophetic event is the signing of a peace treaty between the Antichrist and Israel and to bring peace in the Middle East. But the next prophetic event is the rapture of the church. Now, conceivably, there will be time between the rapture and the signing of that peace treaty because Antichrist is going to need time to ramp himself up to ascend to a platform of leadership and of power to bring those nations together. So there's going to be some time there, months, you know, but there's going to be mass chaos on the planet and crisis. They're going to be in major crisis mode. And you can believe me that every person on the planet is going to accept whatever this Antichrist guy says because they're going to be so desperate for peace and desperate for security, desperate for safety. If you want to jab me with something, jab me. You want to put a mark on my hand, put a mark on my hand. Yes, that means I get to buy and sell in this crazy time we're living in. Sure. Now look, there's a lot more I could talk about right now. But we'll save that for another time. Okay. So that concludes this little series on amazing prophecies. Again, there are more we could talk about, but the bottom line is God's an amazing God. Only God can predict the future. Only God, not Satan. Satan's trying to predict the future through getting these things going. He can't do it. Only God can do that. That's the kind of God that we serve. Isn't that cool? And so anyway, hope you enjoy this little series. Hey, don't forget to check out theprophecyprosconference.net and consider coming and joining me in Orlando with some great speakers. Hey, till next time, I'm Jeff Kinley. Thanks a lot for watching. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.